What I'd like to ask you about is, let's go back to the years when you were working to establish what it was like being a Jew on the East Side, where they're mostly Jews, is that correct? And did you feel anti-Semitism? And if you did, where and when?
No, I didn't feel anti-Semitism on the East Side, because most of them were Jews, and the Jewish people that had come just from Europe.
Right.
To where they had anti-Semitism, so there wasn't, you know, one Jew against the other. And usually that these people found their own people who came from the same part of the land that they came.
Right.
So it was agreeable on both sides. They were very happy with each other. But I went out to work. If you went out to work, you went to a different district.
I see.
And that was all different kinds, mostly poor Irish, just like there were poor Jewish people. You know,
right.
And these youngsters, I would never start with anybody, because I never fought with anybody. I was frightened to be hit, or my mother never touched us. She never slapped us or cursed us or anything like that. And
so you went to work,
so
in
I
what kind of factory?
I went to work in this ribbon factory, and he had about 300 girls there, putting a label on the top of a roll, what color the ribbon was and how many yards the roll had. And we used to put the labels on, you know, the
right
things were
before they'd pack them.
Before they'd pack them, like that.
You were how old at this time, Mr.
I was
14. You were talking about 1913.
Yeah, 1913.
And what was the wage scale then?
$3 a week for 6 days.
Wow.
8 to 6.
And how were the conditions? Were they like the Triangle place? Were you cooped up?
We never had any trouble there. We never had any
trouble.
Well,
what was it like? What kind of, was the air bad? Or was the air good? How many people were in a room?
There were about 300 girls in that large loft. Very, very large.
A lot of.
Yeah. And we worked long hours. You stood, you couldn't sit.
We stood.
We had to stand.
From
you had
what?
To reach over.
8 in the morning?
8 in the morning till 6.
Yeah.
And Saturday, 8 till 6. Sunday was the day off.
And how long did you get for lunch?
Half hour.
Did you have to bring your lunch?
Yeah, you had to bring.
And
what'd
you do? Eat it in the factory.
Right.
Standing up
there. And you didn't go any place because you had it. The half hour went very fast. You know, you had to be there.
So you say conditions were poor because you were picked on because you were Jewish? Is that what you say?
Right. And I used to get beat up.
Yes.
They'd wait for me. Two girls, three girls, they found out I was Jewish. I don't know how they found out, but they asked me, I suppose, and I must have said yes. And every other day they started beat us up.
So this was common at that period.
Yeah, common, yeah.
But when you came to Pittsburgh, did you notice a difference?
Yes.
Were the attitudes different here?
Yes, it was. It was different.
Better.
Better
for you as a Jew.
Better for me, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all that time before we leave the subject, when you were that little, how was your home life? You were religious. Did you go to shul? Were there little synagogues around?
Yes. I did want to tell you, you were talking whether there was a Jewish community center.
Yeah.
There was one on Delancey Street or East Broadway, something like that. I forgot the exact name. The Hebrew Alliance, the Educational Alliance, that's what it was, the Educational Alliance. And I could have gone there, but my mother wouldn't allow us to go too far from the house. So I was always afraid to go there, you know.
So you didn't participate.
So I didn't partake, and I'm sorry to this day that I didn't, because I could have learned
something. But what did you do
something.
Instead? Did you go to the synagogue on Saturday? Or did you practice religion in your home?
Yes, we practiced religion in our home. My mother did, yeah. She observed all the holidays, and I remember Pesach, we used to get a few walnuts, you know.
So is there anything you'd like to say before we leave this subject on your...
I did want to say, when my mother sold papers, you know, I told you about
newspapers.
That. Newspapers, yeah. It was the Journal, World, Globe, Mail, Sun, Telegraph.
You mean that one name was the name of the newspaper?
That was every newspaper that I spoke about.
Oh.
We were selling.
Oh, those were different newspapers. Globe,
Mail, Sun, Telegraph, Journal, World.
There were that many.
That many. And you had to have, if it was 3 o'clock, you had to have the 3 o'clock final on your front page. If you didn't, nobody would buy it. At a 4 o'clock final, you had to have new news.
Oh, they wouldn't buy the old papers.
They wouldn't buy the old papers. And all your charge was a penny, you know, a penny a paper. And that was a lot of trouble for us.
But well, what happened? What happened with the papers that she couldn't sell?
You couldn't.
She took the loss.
You took the law. Your loss. Wow. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And one day, my sister and I went to get some journals from the journal building. We got 50 papers. She carried 25, and I carried 25. And it was Christmas Eve, and it was black with people coming out of the offices. You know, mm-hmm. Wall Street and everything. And a young woman came over to us. We were pushing our way through. You could hardly see how to walk. And she says, "Where are you going, little girls?" I said, "We can't talk to you," I said, "because we have to take our papers to my mother. She wants them badly. She needs them." So she says, "You sell papers?" I said, "Yes, we do." She says, "Oh." And she had a shoebox under her arm. And she was dressed like a Salvation Army girl dresses. We remembered the kind of clothes they had. And she gave us the shoebox. "Here's, take this and have a Merry Christmas." And I didn't know what it was, and I shook it a little bit. And we skipped and hopped back to my mother, and we yelled, "Look what we got. Some lady gave us this shoebox, and there's something in it. It must be good, and because it's Christmas, Mother." And the man that owned the secondhand clothes in the cellar, right facing our stand, you know, he said, "That's a bomb, Mrs. Kirshner. Don't use it. Don't touch it." She says, "It certainly is not. No decent man would give 2 little girls a bomb." And it was a lady that gave it to her, not a man. Anyway, I begged my mother to open it. She says, "No, when we get home, we'll open it."
So?
And when we got home, I skipped all the way home. It was 5 pounds of hard Christmas candy.
Oh, I bet. The big mystery.
Oh, that was something. That was a mystery,
So that was fulfilling, right?
Fulfilling, yeah. And also at this about the same time that I went to school, my teacher, we had about 40 children in the class, and she told me to stay after school at noontime. Mm-hmm. And I was frightened. I couldn't imagine why she would want me out of, you know, the whole class. And it was because I was white as a ghost, you know, I had no color in my face. So she said, "What do you, you know, how is your mother and father?" As I told her, "I have no father." She says, "What do you have for lunch?" I said, "We have a box of Unita biscuits and a 1/4 pound of butter and milk. And we buy a quart of milk." And she says, "What else?" I said, "Well, that's it. And we have a hard time dividing because there are 23 crackers in the box. And we're just 3 children. We have to break the one
cracker. It doesn't come out."
So she says, "Would you like to have lunch with me every day?" I says, "Of course." Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I ever heard the word tuna. She brought me a tuna sandwich.
Tuna fish.
Tuna fish.
You had never tasted it.
Never heard it. Never heard of the word. And also a hard-boiled egg. My mother would buy a couple of eggs, but she would fry it to make it more, and put a little milk in to make it more. But she was very, very kind.
So what you're saying, even though wages were terribly low, here you were working a whole week?
Yeah, for $3.
For $3. What were the price of eggs? Do you remember then?
Well, I remember the price of butter. That was 12 cents a pound, and milk was 4 cents a quart. And eggs, I haven't the least idea, but it was cheap.
Comparatively.
I think it was about 20 cents a dozen, something like that.
Maybe less.
Maybe less, yeah. About 10.
That's interesting. 15 cents a dozen. And how did you get to work? Were there trolley cars?
Yes.
Electric trolley cars?
No, there were, yes.
Or were there horses?
There were horses, but there were also regular cars. I think they were electric. I think so. But you had two men, one with the holding the wheel and one collecting the nickel.
Right.
Horse and nickel to ride, regardless, a good piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was the days before Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola, weren't they? You never heard of them.
I never heard of that. That was the beginning of the ice cream cone, though.
Oh, really? You remember that?
You had a
cone in your hand.
There was a place that made those straw-tasting thing, you know, the cone that held the ice cream.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was real good.
So that was new.
Yeah, I think it was 2 cents. 2 cents for a
today, water. It's a dollar. Yeah, most of our ice cream parties. $1 from 2 cents. And how many years was that, would you say?
Well, I was about 12 at the time.
So that would
13,
be
1913.
About 70 years. Took 70 years to go from 2 cents to a dollar. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now we want to know a little bit, or as much as you want to talk about, how you got into the art world, because
of course I'll tell you that.
Here you are, a housewife, going about your business. Then what happened?
Well, I had visited my sister, and for 1 week, my son was going with his wife to the Cape, and for just a little vacation for about 4 days. And he said,
when was that? What period?
That was in 1959.
And how was your background then? Were you...
Well, I was...
married?
Married, and I had my family and...
Your children?
My children.
You lived in Penn Hills at that time, did you? Was
no.
that when you were 59?
No, I don't know if I lived... Yeah, right, I did live in Penn Hills.
Okay.
Right, on Howard Street, yeah.
So now you're going to visit...
I'm going to visit my sister.
Okay.
And he said, Mother, won't cost you anything, and I'll take you back home. When we're only going to stay a week, and you'll stay a week at your sister's.
Mm.
So when I came into her house, I told her that my sister, from the time she was a little girl, she was sketching. Always a pencil and a tablet for a penny, a pencil. And she was sketching. And I used to sketch, too. You know, we sketched Mary Pickford and all the other little girls, Lillian Gish. You know,
those were the movie idols.
Those were the movie idols. And it was, you know, great.
Yeah.
And I walk into her room and her house, and I'm holding my suitcase, and I look at the wall, and she has a beautiful painting of tablecloths and orange and pewter.
Still life.
Still life, right. And then she also has a picture of her son in pastel in a sailor suit. He was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have been sewing for 50 years, and what I make is beautiful coats and suits and dresses, and in the 2 years, they're rags. You make one lousy picture, and it hangs, and everybody
beautiful.
Admires it,
yeah.
And it's still worth the money that you started with.
Right.
So she says, well, it's about time that you learn to love art. Because since I had 5 children, she had 3 children, but her life was altogether different than mine. And
so how do you rush out and learn to love art?
She worked with her husband. Her husband's an optometrist. But she worked, but she told me what to do. She gave me a pastel paper, and showed me. She made a teapot. She put the teapot down and put a couple of plates down with bread and butter and a few tomatoes. And she says, now try to draw that as best you can. So I tried to draw that the best I can. And then she finished it a little bit. And some part of it was not bad. But like the bread and butter was just like bread and butter. And I did that.
Bad,
I was so proud of myself. And when my son came to pick me up, I said, isn't that beautiful? Would you believe that I did it, Sherman? He says, of course I would, but I think Rose had a good hand in that, you know. Now, and I asked my oldest son, and he said, of course, Mother, you can do most anything. And then that's it. That's all
that
I needed.
Started you.
And I went down and bought tablets and paints and pencils and kept working night and day. I worked till 2 a.m. every night practically. Practicing.
Were you taking lessons, or was this?
I took lessons. I immediately
at that
took
period.
Lessons. Yeah. I
where at?
I went to the arts and crafts.
I see.
Yeah.
The
I
arts and crafts.
I had to take 2 streetcars.
Yeah, as
and
a building
winter,
in
oh,
Pittsburgh.
I had a terrible time, you know, but it didn't stop me carrying the easels and carrying the, not the easels, carrying the canvases and the paints.
Well, arts and crafts, do you know the history of them?
No.
Well, it's a community-based...
Oh, yes, I know, yes.
What do you call it? Community-based learning center, yes. Where they learn, they teach sewing, they teach all the arts,
right,
there, don't
right,
they?
Right.
Sculpture, dancing,
yeah.
Music.
I
right.
know, I've taken a lot of lessons there. I spent
yeah.
a lot of money there, but I never gave up. I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make it somehow, and I did.
So
I
you went there regularly, is that
right.
what you're saying?
I had my own show. I showed you there.
Yes, you did. You came up fast, but we want to get the beginnings. Do you remember any of your early teachers? Was Samuel Rosenberg one of your teachers?
I had him.
He's
and
a
I had
famous
Leonard
Pittsburgh.
Lieb.
Right, very famous
Leonard
artist.
Lieb. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, I wish I'd have been with you when I was younger. He says, well, you're doing all right now, don't worry.
That's a compliment.
I was sitting with him at the table we were invited to, a bar mitzvah. Shelley Blumenfeld's son was bar mitzvah, and she happened to seat me near him. And so I thought I was honored when she did that.
Two
yeah.
artists together.
Yeah.
Right, he was quite a famous artist in
yes,
his day.
I know. Very good.
But he
work.
Died at an early age, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, yeah.
That was sad.
I think he has a son.
Mm-hmm.
One son. I don't know if he has any more children, just about the one
yeah.
son.
So you got your training at arts and
yeah,
crafts.
Yeah, well, my sister said to me, in 1 week I can't teach you anything.
Yeah.
And first of all, I wouldn't want her to teach me because she's not a good teacher. She doesn't have the patience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she yeah. gets upset because even now when I was there just last year or this year, and I was doing something, and I was trying to draw some of Kathy Kollwitz's women. You know, you've seen her stuff, and I didn't do so well. And she yelled at me. I was surprised because, what's the yelling got to do? You know, you just correct
yeah.
me.
Well, sometimes your best friend is your severest critic.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
So that's normal. Anyhow, you did practice a lot.
I practiced
and that was
a
your
lot.
Secret. You worked till 2 in the morning?
Right, 2 in the morning and 3 in the
wow.
morning. The only thing I would stop is there was a little window. I had a lovely place to paint down in the cellar because it was level with the yard, so I had the light, and I had a very good north light, which was wonderful. But I saw something moving at about 2 a.m. I didn't even know what time it was, 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I thought it was a mouse or a rat or a rabbit or something. And I ran upstairs quick and went to bed. But this, I painted. I know my brother-in-law lived down below, and he could see the light. He says, he told my husband, he said, she's there again at 2 a.m. painting away.
Was that when you lived where?
In Penn Hills.
Penn Hills,
yeah.
Which is a suburb of Pittsburgh. It must have been pretty unpopulated
yes,
then,
it was.
Wasn't it?
It was.
A lot
when
of
we moved there, there was about 65,000 people in all of Penn Hills. Now there's, I think, 265,000 or a
yeah.
million. Yeah.
Yeah, that grew.
And it was very good because the parkway was built then. When we moved there, and there was very few cars, there wasn't much traffic. My husband used to go to work from there.
Yeah, what made you, that was mostly a Gentile name, a Christian neighborhood.
Yeah, well.
What led you to go to that area?
Well, because my daughter had bought a house there. I don't know why, but a friend of hers lived not too far,
mm-hmm.
so she bought a house there, and we liked it very much, and we thought, that would be wonderful if we could own a little house there. My oldest son made sure that we did.
Well, how did you feel about the fact that you were no longer in a Jewish community? Did you, were you affiliated to a temple or something then?
I sang for 15 years in the B'nai Israel choir.
Oh, really?
15 years.
The B'nai Israel's in
East End,
East
it
Liberty.
Has that, it looks like a mosque.
A dome, yes.
Yeah, a dome.
And you came all the way from...
No, when I lived on Heberton.
Oh,
I lived on
that
Heberton
when you lived in
that.
East End.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once
during
you moved away...
and everything. But once I moved away to Penn Hills, I didn't. But I came to the synagogue at holidays and
yeah.
everything. I know the chazan very well.
Right. So you can go back that far
yeah, right.
to, what's it called, Beth? The name of
B'nai
the
Israel.
Oh, B'nai Israel.
Yeah.
Were you there when they built it?
I remember seeing it built. I remember, yeah.
It's pretty old, isn't it?
Yes, it's pretty old, but it's still very, very beautiful. Yeah. They keep it up to date.
It's true.
Exquisite, with the picture windows and everything. And it's a very large, and the architect that did that place was a very famous architect. His name started with H, I don't know, but he was very famous in the city.
Yes, it is a quite a temple. Well, it's not a temple. It's a, what do you call it? A shul, right?
Well, you call it a temple. It's a temple of religion.
Yeah, and it's still popular, right?
Still popular, sure.
A lot of weddings there, a lot of ceremonies. Because they have these vast rooms.
Yeah, well, I went there twice a week. Tuesday was rehearsal, and Friday night was the service.
And you sang in the choir?
Every week for 15 years.
Wow.
During the war and everything.
Yes.
I remember one when before the big building was finished, we used to sing in the little stable in the back.
Yeah.
The back was the stable where the Mellons kept the horses. Mm-hmm. See, that was Mellon ground. And we used to sing there. Mm-hmm. And they would always have a man that came to speak. And one day they had this young fellow, I think he was an Italian fellow, and he told us how horrible the Jews are being treated, what Hitler was doing to the Jewish people.
Oh,
he said he put them in railroad cars and took them to the end of the road and left them there to die. I couldn't believe it. I said, my God, why doesn't somebody do something?
Was that the early 40s or even before?
Early 40s.
That was a period when people in this country didn't know, did they, what was happening?
Well, they heard. If I heard, they heard. I mean, I heard that the women were, that the families were in Warsaw, the people were closed in their
really?
Houses. Nobody came, and they were sick. They had all kinds of diseases. The children had every disease under the sun, and they had no help. Nobody looked after them.
So how do you feel? What was happening?
Well,
what was the Jewish community? How did they react to that?
They were frightened, like I was. They were very much frightened. They didn't know what to do, to who to speak to, or who to go to. Or
so there was no effort. Yeah. There was no.
No, no. The world has. They were very.
There was no reaction.
Nobody cared.
Right.
Nobody cared enough.
Well, how were the leaders?
It was over there. You know.
Yeah.
It was over there until your sons went over there. Then it was another story.
Well, were you aware that there was no leadership then in the Jewish community to do something about this?
I didn't know at that time. I didn't realize. I wasn't that involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy with my own family things, you know, how to make a living. And my husband started on a new venture to make like Clorox, you know.
Yeah.
And he had to, if he bought new bottles, then he didn't make any profit, zero. And if he bought the new bottles, he would make 1% profit and had to carry that and schlep it from the truck to the store and go from town to town, the little grocery stores, you know. There are no more little grocery stores, no more.
Not today.
No.
So that period in your
that
life...
That period was very hard
was
for
hard.
Me. Yeah, hard for the children
so
and
what,
the war and everything.
What you're saying is that was probably true in a lot of cases, Hitler was doing his damage, the Jews in this community, you were saying, were involved in their own problems.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. Just like I said, when my son was captured in Bari, Italy, I mean, the Italians had it very bad, you know. I mean, the home, the people that stayed home, I'm not talking about the soldiers or the fascistis, but I mean, the people that stayed home had it very bad.
In Italy, they were being mistreated by the Germans.
By the Germans, laughed at and joked about because when they marched, they sang. You know,
and the Germans
and
couldn't accept
no, they
that.
Couldn't accept that, right.
Is there something you would like to ask my partner?
Yeah, I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about the Art Students League in New York because that's such a famous place.
Oh, yes,
place,
I forgot to tell
bring
you.
It up today.
I went
Good.
There, yes. I, my son thought, he lived in New York, that was after he... What happened is after he came home
from the war,
he immediately went to work. He tried to get a job, and he got a job with the press, I think. I don't know what he did, but he...
The Pittsburgh newspaper. That was about 1945 or 44.
Oh, no, he came home in 45.
I see.
That's right. He came home in 45. And not much of a job. He had to go out to the mills around 4 in the morning to wait for the men and speak to them and stuff like that. I don't know.
He was a reporter?
A reporter, some kind of reporter.
Okay.
And then he had to take the papers to the train to be shipped to the little towns or something like that. And
you're telling us about the Art League, right?
Yeah. So then he went to New York,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "Mother, do you want to go to the Art Students League?" I said, "I'd love to, and maybe Rose would too." So my sister Rose left her husband. I left my husband for one whole month.
Wow.
And we stayed at my son's apartment.
Yeah.
And he gave us all the money we needed for food and paintings and canvas and anything we needed, and brushes for one whole month. And then our husbands came and picked us up and took us home.
Back to the kitchen.
What was it like at the Art Students?
Oh, it was heavenly. I could stay there forever. Oh, I wish that my son would have lived in New York again. I would go right there and go back to the...
Much better than Arts and Crafts.
Yeah, yeah.
Better teachers?
Yeah, worldly
instructors.
Yeah, very well.
That makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, what a difference.
Yeah.
Well, the teacher I have now, you know, I do take a class there now. I'm portrait.
Now, in 1986, you're still taking.
Yeah.
Yes, you're doing portrait work now.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about some of your showings. The galleries, did you show at a gallery ever, or did you have private showings, or what?
Well, I just had my own show, that's about all.
Yeah.
I never did. I did, last year, I put that floral, that end one.
Oh, yeah.
And I got an award for that.
Good, that was in 1985.
Yes.
When you were how old? 80?
Well, I'm 86 now.
So you were 85. It shows you shouldn't give up, right?
No, you don't give up. you put it aside, but you make sure that you get back there.
Right.
Yeah, you do what you have to do, but that is important too.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, like my cookies. They're very important.
So besides your painting, and you are a noted artist, I see in your home here, every wall is covered with your paintings.
Plus the floor.
Yep, that's right. You ran out of space. And they are
the Jewish Home for the Aged has a picture of mine.
Really?
In the doctor's office, yeah. A very large picture, yeah.
You do have a variety here. Would you like to talk about the variety that you paint?
Yeah.
Everything from still life. Mention some other things.
Yeah.
You do faces. You do portraits, right?
Well, I'm studying portraits, let's say. Yeah.
But you do landscapes.
Yeah.
And still lifes.
Yeah. That's
right.
A little of a seascape, and that's in Rhode Island. That first painting there.
Have you done paintings from actual scenes like that?
Yeah.
You can't.
We have to
record this.
Oh,
this is all right.
Yeah, I do have a picture of a place that I took, right, that picture.
I see.
Yeah, I'll show
that you went there.
I went there and I stood there and I saw it and I painted. Good, that's real art.
Boy. You didn't paint from photographs, although there's nothing wrong with painting from photographs.
And this, that old-fashioned picture there.
On the left?
Yeah.
Yeah, the vase with the roses. Is that roses?
Right.
That's very nice.
I did that very early in my lifetime, and I should say at the beginning mostly, and it's all mistakes. You know, that I didn't intend to do it.
Right.
And it came out so beautiful.
Just shows you. Well, you must have a natural talent if your first time you sat down and you did that still life. You did a, what was it, a teapot?
Yes, a teapot. There it is in my kitchen.
Yeah. All right, now we only have a little time left
made
here.
1960.
That's when you began.
Yeah.
In 1960.
It was October 59.
26 years you've been painting.
Yeah, 26 years I've been painting.
That's good, but you also do other things. You're a good baker, right? You bake things?
Yeah. I always bake. I baked for years and years and years. I told you I baked 25 pounds of flour a week, 8 pounds of flour every 3 times a week.
That's a lot of flour.
That's a lot of flour.
And no, we don't have much time.
3 such tables the bread would cover.
But you also sew. You make clothes.
I sewed 2 years ago. I made 4 suits. I'll show you.
4 suits.
Can I show you the suits?
We'll look at it in a minute. What else?
Line,
did you ever make blouses?
Buttons, buttonholes, the whole business.
The works.
A lot of work.
Off of a little power machine. You didn't show us your little machine, your sewing machine.
Oh, it's right there.
All right, we'll have to check it out. You use a little did you ever own a Singer that you operated with your feet?
Of course. Are you kidding? I bought a machine when my first son was born because you had to put the diaper. You had to sew the edges of the diaper.
Uh-huh.
You have to cut them and then sew them.
Remarkable. What other area didn't
that
we cover?
That was 1918.
I remember well.
I remember it well.